is digging deep tonight, so I would like to take a teaching, and I believe that God is going to speak to us. Let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews and chapter 2. I mean chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Hallelujah. I read from verse 15. It says, while it is said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they did hard, did provoke. How be it not all that came out of Egypt by Moses? But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest? But to them that believed not. Verse 19. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that had it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundations of the world. Praise the Lord. I'll be speaking briefly tonight on the power of faith. Here, the Bible was comparing us in this dispensation with the children of Israel in the wilderness. And the Bible says that when God brought them out of Egypt and they got into the wilderness, the desire of God was that under the ministry of Moses, the children of Israel will enter into the promised land, the land that flows with milk and honey. But we saw from the pages of the scriptures that for people that were 20 years and above that came out of Egypt, only two of them entered into the promised land. Only two of them received the promise of God in their lives. And these were Joshua and Caleb. And now the Bible is making us to understand the reason why they didn't make it. He said, these people did not enter into what God has already prepared. Not what God is going to prepare. That's why in chapter 4, you know, he said, we see that it's not, I mean, he says that although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. And I need to pause there a bit and explain a few things before we go on. The things that we are believing God for are things that were already finished through the sacrifice of Christ. They are not things that God is still figuring out how to get them done. The things we are believing the Lord for. Lord, this is what I believe you for in my life, in my business, in my career, in my marriage. All the things we are believing God for, they were already finished when Christ died on the cross and Christ said, it is finished. But now, having been delivered from the world, and we are moving into the promise of God, we will need faith to access the things that have already been finished. For example, the growth of this parish becoming a mega parish. There are no things, it's not a thing that God is still figuring out how it's going to be. No. It is already a finished work, but now we need faith to access it. Because when God took them out of Egypt, God was not going to create Canaan. Canaan was already there. God said, I am taking you from Egypt to a land that flows with milk and honey. A land in which you will inherit houses you did not build, that you will inherit vineyards you did not plant, and wells that you did not dig. Now, the land was already there. They just need to believe what God says and then get into the fulfillment of the promise of God. Likewise, in the New Testament, the same process. Hallelujah. Healing is already a finished work. Prosperity, abundance, all these things are already finished in Christ. Amen. Long life is already finished. Now, when the Bible was written, there were no chapters in the Bible. It was, you know, translators who later put chapters and verses so that we can understand. But when it was written, there were no chapters and verses. So chapter 4 and chapter 3 was actually the same writing. So he says, let us therefore fear, so that a promise being left us, a promise that God had prepared for us, any of you should seem to come short of it. Now, which means that the promise, the things that God has prepared for us, we can actually come short of it. That is, the things that God has prepared for us, we might not see them in our lives. For example, even though healing is prepared for us, it is possible for a believer to live in sickness. Praise the Lord. But healing has been prepared for us. Even though long life is prepared for us, it is possible for the believer to still not fulfill his days upon the earth. Even though abundance, joy, peace, prosperity is prepared for us, it is possible not to see those things. Now the Bible says it is possible that we will not see these things in our lives. It is possible. But you will realize from the pages of the scriptures here that whether we see the promises in our lives or not is no longer a God factor. It is now dependent on us. A lot of things that we are crying to God about are things we just need to learn how to release our faith to get. Oh Lord, look at me right now. Look at my situation. Just do something. God has already finished the work from the foundation of the world. We just need to learn how to release our faith. Now the scripture says that many of these people, God was not pleased with them because they were overthrown in the wilderness. Why was God not pleased with them? The Bible says that they could not enter in. They could not enter in. They could not enter in. Not because the devil was too powerful. Not because the ancestral powers in the wilderness were so strong. Not because the demons they worship in Egypt was after them and wanted to stop them from getting into the promised land. The Bible says they could not enter in because of unbelief. In other words, unbelief is a weapon of the enemy to stop believers from obtaining the promise in their lives. Unbelief. 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 In other words, even though I know God heals, If I have unbelief concerning healing, I'm not going to see it in my life. Now, even if I pray from now till next year, I know God can meet my need. But if I have unbelief when it comes to provision, even though I cry daily, I'm still not going to see miracles of provision. I'm not going to see miracles of financial abundance. Why? Because there is unbelief. Now, before we begin to look outside, begin to look into demonic powers, we have to look inside us. Is there unbelief in me? So the Bible says, let us therefore fear, lest the promise be left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For the word was preached unto us as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that had it. Verse 3, for we which have believed do enter into rest. Now, not we which have prayed, not we which have fasted, we which has done what? Which have believed. In other words, if I walk on my faith and there is no unbelief in my life, I might not be the most prayerful person, in quote, in the eyes of people. But if I am walking by faith, I can enter into the promises that God has prepared for me. And it can become very evident in my life. Why? Because of my faith. Praise the Lord. Now, but you see, verse 2 is very important. Chapter 4, verse 2. He said, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. Now, you see, the issue here is the issue of unbelief. These people didn't enter in because of unbelief. He said, we which I believe we have entered in. But there is something that is like a denominator to us and them. What is that? The gospel. Let somebody say the gospel. Now, he says, the gospel was preached to them. Then the gospel was preached to us. But unbelief stopped them. We entered because of belief. In other words, our attitude to the gospel determines whether we will walk in faith or we will walk in unbelief. Our attitude. So, whether a man will walk in faith or not, it is his attitude to the gospel. I remember sometimes ago I was preaching in a church in Asia and I was doing a seminar on faith. And, you know, I asked them a question. I said, how many of you have prayed that God should give you faith? And a lot of people raised up their hand, including the pastor. And many people have prayed for years that God should give them faith. But how do we come out of unbelief into faith? The hearing of the gospel. Now he said, unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. In other words, if you are having problem in any area of your Christian life and you are not seeing the promise of God coming to pass and you're getting frustrated, you're getting dejected, you're getting depressed in an area of your life because you don't know what to do, what must you do as a believer? Hear the gospel. So I can hear enough gospel to a point in my life that every unbelief will leave me. I can hear the gospel. I can hear the gospel. So if I have unbelief in the area of finances, what do I need to do? I need to hear the preaching of the gospel in the area of finances. So I need to hear the word on finances. Hear it being preached over and over and over and over until unbelief leaves me and faith is established in my heart. So the preaching of the gospel is so crucial. And that is the reason why one of the things the devil would never want a believer, you know, to do is to hear the preaching of the gospel. You know, the devil doesn't really care if you pray. For as long as your prayer is not done in faith, he knows you are wasting your time. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. And what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have. But this is the way we interpret it. What things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe you shall receive them, and then you shall have. No, he said, believe that you receive, present tense, then you will have in the future. Believe that you receive. Now, and for you to be able to exercise enough faith for the present, you need to have the word of God. Because faith is always in the present. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So which is, before I begin to pray on an issue, I must have had enough preaching of the gospel to build my faith in that area. That's why you see people who come to church and they pray about maybe their finances, their immigration status, or something. And after that, you know, they pray so sweating and all that. And then immediately after the service, you know, say, Pastor, in fact, I don't understand though. You know, in fact, I'm tired. All this prayer we've been doing. Praise the Lord. Why? Because faith has not been established in the heart. And that is the reason why, if there is any service at all that the devil will want to stop believers from coming, is the teaching service, is the Bible study, is the digging deep. That's the one the devil don't want you to come. And you know, that's the one people don't take serious. But the Sunday service, we are so serious for that. But you see, on Sunday, we don't have enough time to do real teaching. Because there are many activities on Sunday, and because Sunday is the day that many people come, and because people want to be ministered to, so in most cases, the pastor is tempted on Sunday to tilt towards power ministry and prophetic ministry because people want to be ministered to. And prayers on Sunday, people want to pray. You want to lay hands on them. You want to prophesy into their lives. So there is really no time for quality word preaching of the gospel that can build the faith of the people. And that's why after Sunday, the people go out, all the excitement goes down until next Sunday. And that is why many people cannot bear fruits in their lives. Now, when you look at that chapter, verse 2, it said, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. Let somebody say profit. Now, I'm sure we all know what profit is. We all love to make profit. For those of us in business, oh my God, you want to make profit. Now, the scripture says the word preached did not profit them. So, what does that mean? It means when the word is preached, what is the purpose of the word? To bring profit into you. That's the purpose of the word. So, when you keep hearing the word, we should see profit in your life. Amen. That is, you should make gains. When you hear the word in the area of finances, we should see profit. We should see gains in your finances. When you hear the word in the area of marriage, we should see gains in your marriage. When you hear the word in the area of your business or career, we should see gains in that area. In other words, the word coming into you is supposed to bring gains to your life. We should see your life at the end of hearing the word. We should see positive increases in your life. Gains must be there. Gains must be there. Which means if God is ever going to get any profit into you, how will God do it? He will send the word to you. He will send the word. So if you keep praying, oh God, I need profiting in my career. I need profiting in my health. I need profiting in my marriage. I need profiting in my business. Oh Lord, I need profiting in this area of my life. What is God going to do to you? He will send the word to you. God will position you to hear the preaching of the word, because that is the only way God can get profit into you. Now, which means even though the word of God is his spirit, as the Bible says, it has ability to produce physical, tangible, material profiting in your life. Hallelujah. It has the ability to produce profiting. To produce profiting. So whenever you start hearing the word, what does that mean? Get set for what? Profiting. Oh, hallelujah. So when I need to profit in my health, what am I going to do? I start hearing the gospel as it is preached concerning healing and health. And as I begin to hear the gospel, what will happen to me? Profiting will come. Amen. You know, that's why the Bible says in the book of Psalms 125, verse 6, it says, he that goeth forth, you know, and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless return, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves or his harvest with him. What does that mean? It means when the word of God, you know, enters into your life, and you begin to hear the word, you are sure there will be a result. You are so sure that there will be a result. You are so sure. That's Psalm 126, sorry, not 125, where he says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Yeah. Now, you are so sure that there will be a reward in your life. Hallelujah. Amen. So, if I sit down with the preaching of the word and I begin to hear the word on finances, I can say, Pastor, you know what? In the next 1 year, my finances is not going to be the same. And then Pastor can say, well, why are you sure about that? I said, Pastor, relax. You know why? I am hearing the word that will bring profiting. So it's a matter of time. My profiting is coming. Hallelujah. I'm so sure of that. Amen. How will you be sure? Because of the word. Preaching of the word. So he said the word did not profit them. It didn't profit them. You will see that Caleb and Joshua that entered into the promised land, when they came back and, you know, the ten brought evil report of the land, why was it that Caleb and Joshua was able to enter into the land? They relied on what God had said to Moses. They say, yeah, there are giants there. Yes, they don't want to give us immigration status in the U.S. I don't know whether that is a big problem here, but I know in the U.K. it's a big issue. When you get to a church in the U.K. and you are ministering and you have not touched immigration, oh, the anointing has not flowed. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So, and you know, well, here is big. You know, you can still hide. But you know, U.K. is so small. So when you are preaching and it's a power meeting, oh, anointing must touch people with immigration issues. Hallelujah. Amen. But you will see that Caleb and Joshua relied on the word of God that they have heard through Moses. They said, if the Lord be with us, those people, even though there are giants there, they are, you know, meat for us. All their defenses is gone. We are going to overcome them. We are going to destroy them. Now, look at Caleb. For you to understand the power of the preaching of the word, look at Caleb. You know, when they got into the promised land in Joshua chapter 1, you know, Caleb went to Joshua and said, Joshua, he said, you remember 40 years ago when we were following Moses? Hallelujah. And that means you need to be following somebody in life. You must have a mentor. And that's one thing that destroys a lot of people. You see, as a Christian, you must understand this. You can't flourish unless you are under the anointing of a pastor. You cannot. You can't. Don't say, oh no, all I need to do, I can pray on my own, I can study the Bible on my own, I can speak in tongues on my own. Forget about that. As a believer, you need to be under an anointing for you to flourish. Every believer must understand that. And that is why church is not just a social gathering. It's, oh, you know, let me just belong to that. No! Now, for example, everywhere you see the signboard of the RCCG, the anointing upon the general overseer is upon that place. And no Christian can flourish on his own. Never. That's why in countries where they have, you know, dealt with Christians, what do? They make sure that Christians don't gather. All those Islamic countries, you know, where they persecute Christians, they go from house to house, China and all those places, so Christians don't gather. Because once you are not under an anointing, you can't stand on your own. You cannot. Right. Now, you see, Caleb told Joshua, he said, you know, when we were following Moses, how I told you then, you know, that I'm going to get this mountain. And you remember the word of the Lord that came by Moses. He said, now I am as strong as I was 40 years ago. Now, He was fortified when he came to the promised land. And he made up his mind that this mountain is going to be mine when we enter this place. Now, normally, the journey should take them like 40 days, but it became 40 years. So 40 years later, at the age of 85, he said, you know what? My strength has not abated. I still have enough strength for battle like it was 40 years ago. Now, you wonder, what made a man to be strong till the age of 85? The power of the word. Because when the word was spoken to him, Caleb kept confessing the word for 40 years. The same word. I'm taking this mountain according to the word of the Lord. I am possessing this mountain according to the word of the Lord. Now, for that word to come to pass, number one, Caleb had to be alive. So in all the battles, Caleb did not die because the word must come to pass. Number two, Caleb had to be strong to be able to fight. Hallelujah. Now, you know why people grow old so fast now? Because people speak the words of Satan concerning their health and concerning their strength. Oh, you know, I'm now 40. You know, I'm now an old man now, you know. You know, old people like us. You don't talk to old people like us. Oh, you know, doctors say when you are now this age, you start feeling like this. And like I tell my friends, it's difficult to walk by faith in the area of your health in the developed countries. Why? Because they glorify sickness. They advertise sickness. They advertise medicine. And they tell you, do you feel this? You've got to ask your doctor to use this. Oh, when you start using this, then you don't feel this one anymore. And then after they advertise the drug and the medicine so well, then they tell you, if you have this symptom, then you don't need to use it. If you feel this one, then you don't. They say, so what is the essence? Hallelujah. Now, they have put a lot of those words in the mouth of believers. So instead of believers hearing the preaching of the gospel concerning their health, what are they hearing? They are hearing words of unbelief. Oh, when you feel this and you are 50, oh, that means you are getting old already. And then you start saying, oh, you know, I'm getting old. And then before you know it, every part of your body starts getting old. Why? Because you have released enough unbelief. Because you see, unbelief is the opposite of faith. It is the reverse of faith. And both of them work based on the same principles. The principles by which faith work is the principle by which unbelief work. Adam was created to live by faith. But when Adam sinned, his faith became unbelief. So he was still using the same principles to walk in unbelief. You've got to believe it. And then you've got to confess it. So you've got to believe that by the age of 45, you're going to have these kind of symptoms in your body. And you've got to confess it for it to work. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, if Jesus tarries, I'm going to retire preaching at the age of 95. If Jesus has not come, he's 95, I will retire preaching. Then I'll be flying all over the world. Just visiting, amen. If Jesus tarries, then I just come over to him. San Antonio, I see Pastor, if you are still in the U.S. at that time, you know, I was, oh, Pastor, how are you? Remember 50 years ago, 55 years ago, when I came to your church, praise the Lord, where are those brethren there? Praise the Lord, where are they now? Hallelujah. It's going to be awesome. Amen. Hallelujah. So, the Bible says, it is what? The hearing of the gospel. The hearing of the gospel or the hearing of the word does what? Produces faith in you for you to enter into the promises of God. It produces faith in you for you to enter into the promises of God. Now, you see, one of the questions people ask me is that why is it that God has to make everything about the kingdom of God based on faith? After all, God is a merciful God. He should just look down on us and see our condition. And then just, bingo, it happens. And you know, we live in a world now that is a world of everything is instant. Instant tea, instant coffee, instant everything. Amen. Why does it have to be faith? Let's go to the book of Romans chapter 4. The letter of Paul to the Romans chapter 4. I read from verse 13, Romans chapter 4. It says, verse 13, For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law behest, faith is made void, and the promise is made of unbelief. I mean, it's made of non-effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Why does it have to be faith? Because one, God wants the promise to be sure. Faith makes the promise sure to all the seed of Abraham. Now, I'm sure you know the moment you accept Christ, you are a seed of Abraham. Faith makes the promise sure. Why does God have to make it by faith? Faith makes the promise sure. Without faith, if it is not by faith, if it is by law, then the Bible says that faith is made void and the promise is made of non-effect. So the promise of God is nullified when faith is not released. You know, myself and Sister Lamy, they went to the same school. You know, in those days, we used to pray for people that fall sick. We go and pray for them. And then you see some brethren, they are trying to release their faith for healing. So when you pray for them, they say, oh, pastor, ah, bro. You know, then it wasn't pastor, ah, bro. You know, she still calls me bro till now. Praise God. So I brought there and said, bro, I'm okay. I'm okay. I said, praise God, hallelujah. So can you just, you know, have some meal right now, you know, after all you are okay and all that. They said, oh, no, I don't feel like eating now. I just want somebody to cover me with a cover clothes, you know. I'm going to be right, all right. I tell you that, brethren, this one needs to go to the hospital. This one is not releasing faith. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, faith is not being ruthless. You know, there are people that say, God, you've just got to do it. You've just got to do it. I'm not going to leave here until you do it. Now, you can shout all that. If there is no faith, nothing will happen. Nothing will happen. Amen. So to make the promise to be sure to all the seed, what did God do? He made it to be of what? Of faith. So it is of faith. It is of faith. So that the promise might be sure to everyone. So every believer can access the promises of God. That's what the Bible is saying. Every believer in Christ can do what? Can access the promises of God. He said, so that it might be sure to all the seed, not to that which is of the law only, but also that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Faith of Abraham. Say with me, faith of Abraham. Say it again, say faith of Abraham. Say it again, say faith of Abraham. In other words, if Abraham is the father of us all, how did Abraham receive the promises of God? It came by faith. So we that we are the seed of Abraham, we will receive and enter the promises by what? By faith. By faith. By faith. By faith. Which means according to Romans chapter 10, go there with me. Romans chapter 10. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 12. The Bible says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. In other words, whatever God does in my life, God can do it for you. Whatever God does in the life of Abadeboye, God can do it for you. Hallelujah. By what? By faith. No difference. Because the promise is now sure unto all. I don't know whether this has happened to you before. You know, as Christians, there are times believers will say, Lord, I don't know what they are doing. And this thing is working for them. Me too, I'm praying. How many of you have ever thought like that before? You know, But God, me too, I'm praying. Eh? But it's like these people. It's like there is one button they press. God showed me the same button so that I press the same thing too and I can have it in my life. The Bible said, no, there is no magic. There is no magic formula. The formula is what? Faith. Hallelujah. In other words, if I come here today and I share a testimony with you, the same thing can happen in your life by faith. The same thing. The same thing. The same thing. There can be the greatest thing you are believing God for right now happen in your life by faith. But how will that faith come to you? He said, the gospel, first of all, must be what? Must be preached. And you know, the gospel is the power of God. Romans 1:16. For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for them that believe. You know, for therein is the righteousness of God living from faith to faith. For it is written as verse 17, the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4. His soul that is lifted up in him is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 38. If any man draw back, our soul shall have no pleasure in him. For we are not of them that believe, that draw back unto perdition, but that believe unto the saving of the soul. Now, for the just shall live by faith. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. The just shall live by faith. So the scripture makes it clear that the just has no other way. It has to be by faith. There is no other way. Even though God is a merciful God, there is no other way. It has to be by faith. And you know what? It has to be your own faith. Let somebody say, my own faith. Say it again. Say, my own faith. Hallelujah. Amen. In other words, when it comes to working with God, it has to be by your own faith. Amen. Now, you see, in the ministry of healing, for example, there are times, yeah, the preacher releases his own faith for you to get healed. But I found that a healing becomes so fast when you release your own faith. It comes just like that. But a lot of times we want to rely on the faith of the preacher to get things done. When it comes to our day-to-day living as Christians, it has to be by faith. And that is why don't do anything for God without your faith. Because the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. So when you are going to give, what must you do? Give by faith. When you are going to pray, pray in faith. When you're going to serve the Lord in what? In faith. That is, you are not just doing it because, well, I'm the minister, I need to be there. If I don't come, pastor is going to call me. I don't know whether that happens there. But you know, in Nigeria, there are people who say, if I don't come now, pastor will talk, so let me go. Amen. Serve the Lord, releasing your faith. That is when there is a reward. Because reward only comes for faith. Reward only comes for faith. So, how will you overcome unbelief and walk in faith? By hearing the preaching of the gospel, or by hearing the preaching of the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You will realize that there was a time Jesus sent his disciples out. And you know, these disciples, at the time Jesus was sending them out two by two to preach the gospel, they were not yet even born again. They were not yet filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Bible said they came back with a lot of testimonies. They cast out devils. They healed the sick. Luke chapter 10. You know, they returned. And Jesus Christ said, rejoice in these that your name is written in the book of heaven. And all that. He said, for behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy. And nothing shall by enemies hurt you. But the question is, how did they get the power? Because they've had the preaching of Jesus over and over and over and over. You know, when you go through the gospel, the Bible says that Jesus will finish teaching the congregation, he will call his disciples to the side, and he will explain those things to them. So by hearing those preachings, faith came to them, and they could go out and begin to cast out the devil. They could go out and begin to heal the sick. Hallelujah. So the more to which you, the degree to which you receive the gospel determines the degree to which your faith comes. And that is why in that Romans chapter 11, Romans chapter 10, he says, Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now, in other words, you can't deal with unbelief without hearing a preacher preaching. You cannot deal with unbelief. You cannot deal with unbelief. Oh, Lord, I come against every unbelief in my life. Go now, fire, Holy Ghost. No. You've got to hear preacher preaching. You've got to hear preacher preaching. And that is why for when I come into your apartment, to your house, or I become close to you, I want to know how much money you have invested into tapes. I want to know how much money you have invested into Christian books. That will tell me the level of your faith. But you will realize today that most Christians don't care about tapes. Most Christians don't care about books. And like I normally say when I go to Asia, that on the day of judgment, it shall be more tolerable for Africa than for developed countries. You know, Jesus was saying when he was rebuking some, he said, "Woe unto you, O Bethsaida. It shall be more tolerable unto Sodom than unto thee." I said, it shall be more tolerable for Africa. I said, you know why? I said, because if all these gadgets you have and all the fast broadband, cheap broadband you have is in Africa, oh, we will have taken the whole world over with the gospel. I said, but you have all the gadgets there. You have all the fast internet there. You can just log on and download all the podcasts and listen. I said, some of us have to wait till we travel before we download podcasts. Because here, you pay the same amount of money every month, irrespective of what you use. But there, you will spend thousands for you to download just 10 messages. Praise the Lord. So when I come here, I download everything I need to download and listen to the word. Hallelujah. So now, so I normally tell them, I said, look, it shall be more tolerable for us in Africa. I say, you have all the things you need. I said, but what do you do with all this technological advancement? You use it to watch things you shouldn't watch. Praise the Lord. Now, the question is, how much are you investing into hearing the preaching of the word? Are you getting me right now? How much? How much? How much are you investing into tapes? How much are you investing into books? And let me say this to you. How much also are you investing into preachers? Now, this is very important. You see, a lot of us just take our pastor as the person who prays for us. And that's a very big mistake. You know, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, it said, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He said, he that soweth to the flesh shall what? Of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall what? Of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now, in John chapter 6, verse 63, when Jesus was preaching, and the Bible said many of his disciples did not walk with him again, he turned to the 12. He said, will you also go away? Peter said, to whom shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life. He says that, and the word you have preached to us is what? He said, it is the Spirit. Jesus now replied. He said, it is the Spirit that quickens. That is, it is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The word I preach to you, they are what? They are spirit and they are life. So the word of God is not just like the word of Shakespeare. This word is spirit. The word is not spiritual. The word is spirit. Are you getting me? Now, the Bible says, he that sows to the Spirit shall what? Of the Spirit reap life. So the word begins to produce life in you to affect every area of your life when you sow to the word. Are you getting it? When you sow to the word. So whenever you give gifts to pastor, it is not because pastor is not working. You see, in the redeemed church, most of the pastors have their jobs. So it's not that he needs your money. No. But because it is the place, I mean, he is the person, the oracle that releases the word. So you are not in effect giving to him as a person, but you are sowing to the word that is coming from him.
and the spirit of the world comes upon you. Are you getting me? Now, we must know that Christianity is more than just clapping hands. We are the real spiritual people. The so-called people, all these cults that call themselves spiritual, are not really spiritual. Most of the things they do, they just take the Bible and corrupt it, and the devil anoints them for it. Amen. We are the real spiritual people. And you must understand this as a Christian, that Christianity is very, is a spiritual walk. It's not just, you know, social gathering. Christianity is not a social gathering. It's a spiritual walk. And God takes this thing serious. God takes his word serious. He says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but not a jot nor a title of my word will go without being fulfilled. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was a time that Ezekiel saw a revelation, Ezekiel chapter 2, and he fainted. After he fainted, he said, and the spirit entered into me when he spake to me and set me upon my feet. In other words, how did God put the spirit in him? By speaking to him. Are you getting me? So as he was speaking, the spirit was coming. As he was speaking, the spirit was coming. That was why when Peter and John healed that man at the beautiful gate, and they were arrested in Acts chapter 3, and when they brought them before the elders, the Sanhedrin, when Peter spoke, the Bible said they were shocked. Ah, Peter. Peter. He said because they knew that this guy was not learned. Where did he get this wisdom? He said, then they took knowledge of him that he had been with Jesus. So the words of Jesus has passed the spirit to him and has changed his life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I need to leave you with this question tonight. And the question is, how much are you going to invest into the word? Because that is the crucial thing. The gospel was preached to them. The gospel was preached to us. But when the gospel was preached to them, they didn't take it serious. They were not buying tapes of Moses. Because if those 10, you know, people, those 10 spies that gave bad report, if they have listened to the tapes of Moses, they will not give bad reports. They will have enough faith to say, yeah, we saw giants there, but man, we are going to deal with them. We're going to kill them because God has spoken to us that this land belongs to us. But they were not listening to tapes. They were not reading books written by Moses. Amen. And I'm sure those 10 other people were the ones that don't come for midweek service. They don't come for Moses' midweek service. You know, like I said, there are things that you can only teach in midweek service. You see the way I'm talking now, we are laughing. We won't do this on a Sunday. If it was to be Sunday, I would just be here. I'd be sweating and shouting. Come on, taking, receiving. Hallelujah. Amen. And everyone would be shaking. And everybody would say, yeah. Pastor, preaching. Oh, woo. So on Sunday service, Moses used to do that. So those 10, you know, people were coming for Sunday service. And they were ushers. That was why when it was ready to time to send people as spies, they knew them. Ah, Brother Johnson is an usher. We must send him. We see the way he shouts when pastor preaches. Amen. But because he was not in the midweek services, he was not hearing the word. So when they got there and they saw God, they said, ah, we better go back to Egypt. We don't think we can take over this land. And you see, this is what happens to a lot of believers. You see a lot of believers, the moment they see a little challenge, like when Jesus was sharing the parable of the sower, what happens to them? They are afraid. Are you getting me? They begin to give up. Ah, oh God. When I was coming to the U.S., you didn't tell me I would go through this. Will I now need to go back? Or what will I tell them in Africa? Oh God, have mercy. But a man that have heard the preaching of the word of faith will look at the problem in the face and say, problem, hear the word of the Lord. I have come here to destroy you. You will not send me back anywhere. Don't you notice that in the scriptures, all the people that God blessed were immigrants? Abraham was an immigrant. He left Iraq. And God said, because you've left your country and obeyed me, I'll give you this land. Joseph was an immigrant. And he became prime minister of Egypt. Amen. So you can begin to groom yourself or your children to become the president of U.S. Amen. All the people, check it, most of the people you see, they were all immigrants. In the scriptures. And then they begin to walk with God. When the ark of God, you know, was brought from the land of the Philistines, and the Bible says that
they were taking it in the time of Moses, and then they carried it into the, and then, you know, Uzzah touched the ark, and Uzzah died. The Bible said they took the ark and put it in the house of a man called Obed-Edom the Gittite. You know, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, when they mention a man's name, they will mention his father's name. But in the case of Obed-Edom, they didn't mention his father's name, which means he was a non-significant person. Amen. So Obed-Edom was an immigrant. That's why they didn't. He wasn't in the census of the country. His name was not in the country. He didn't have social security number. That's why they didn't put his father's name there. He didn't have green card. He didn't have blue passport. Praise the Lord. So I think it's just someone like me who strayed into Israel and settled down. And whenever he sees immigration, he runs around. Amen. When he sees police park around him, he begins to pray in tongues. And then Moses said, David said, can we put this thing in his house? Somebody that even if he dies, the nation will not miss him. Because he's not a documented person. And then they remember, Obed-Edom is not documented. I'm sure when the guy, they opened his door, he was living in one small apartment. But the Bible said 3 months later, his name came out, made the headlines of New York Times. The man with the largest stocks in the whole of U.S. And David said, this man, please go and bring this into my house. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hearing the preaching of the gospel. Hearing the preaching of the gospel. And hear me, it doesn't just stop at hearing the preaching. Now, there are two ways you hear the preaching of the word. Number one, by hearing a preacher, either by audible or video, or by reading books, or by coming to church. Another way you hear the preaching is when you also begin to preach the word to yourself. See, your faith will not bring the promise until you begin to preach what God has said to yourself. You have to keep saying it. For example, the Bible says death and life, Proverbs 18:20, is in the power of the tongue. You know, God has all power. Do you know that? How many of you know that God has all power? Now, God has all authority, has all power. God has the authority to kill a Christian, but he does not have the permission to kill a Christian, except the Christian gives him the permission. How? By giving him the authority through his word, the permission through his word. And like I always say this, that if you are a Nigerian, how many of us are Nigerians here? Nigerian? Okay. How many of us are Yoruba here? You are Yoruba also? You're also Yoruba? Praise God. You see, if you are Yoruba, you know, there are some words we use that are very bad. Amen. You know, everything tends to kill a Yoruba person. Yeah. When he's hungry, what does he say? Hunger is killing me. When it's raining and he's walking in the rain, what does he say? The rain is killing me. When he's walking under the sun, what does he say? The sun is killing me. So everything kills him. Now, but that's just on the lighter mood. Now, what are we talking about? You must be a preacher also to yourself. So after you have heard the preacher preach it, then you have to keep preaching the word to yourself until the word will become flesh in your life. That's the reason why. Let me just conclude on this. You know, December 31st through January 1st is a watch night service. Pastor will come. Year 2014 is our year of overflowing abundance. In this year, abundance everywhere you go, and everybody will say, yeah, amen. Abundance, abundance, overflow, overflow, hallelujah. But that's the last time they will preach it to themselves. As they get out there and they receive an alert on their phone, your bank account is now $30 remaining. You say, God, the way things are going, hey, I'm really in trouble. You see, all the word you have heard, all the revelations that have come to you, if you have been preaching them to your life will not be at this level. Why do we delight in preaching revelations of Satan and not preaching the revelations of God? Amen. Amen. I call our church the mega church. And when you get there, we are physically, there is no mega there. But I have seen in the scriptures, in the word of God, where he said, run and tell that young man in the book of Zechariah. He said, Jerusalem shall not be inhabited as a city with walls, but as a city without walls, because of the abundance of men and of cattle in it. When I saw that, I said, yeah, we are mega. So I keep speaking, mega. So very soon when you see me on TV here as one of the mega church pastors in Nigeria, you say, wow, he said so then. You know, when Jesus rose from the dead and the women got to the tomb in Matthew, what did they say? They said, you are looking for Jesus? He is not here. He is risen, as he said. He said it. Do you know that your life today is a product of your words? It's what you've been saying. If you are saying that something is not going to be okay, it's not going to be okay. Oh, I know it. I know it is not going to work for me. It's not going to work. So hear the preacher and then preach to yourself. In the morning, in the afternoon, in the night, when you are driving, keep preaching to yourself. When you put on the tape and the preacher is saying, come on, say after me, I am blessed and favored. Keep saying, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. When you come to church on Sunday and the pastor say, this week is our week of favor, you shall be favored. Every second, keep saying it, I shall be favored. I receive favor. I walk in favor in the mighty name of Jesus. Everywhere I stand, I shall obtain favor before God, before man, in the name of Jesus. Doors that I knock, they shall open unto me, in the name of Jesus. I am blessed and highly favored. Hallelujah. Preach it to yourself. Preach it. When you are in debt, wake up in the middle of the night and preach abundance to yourself. Don't preach the debt. You already have the debt. So you don't need to let us know that. And God already knows that you are in debt. So you don't need to tell him, oh God, don't you see me? I'm in debt. He knows that. Even before the debt came, he knew you're going to be in the debt. And don't say, ah, devil, you put me in debt, you are in trouble. Devil already knew because he put the debt there. Amen. And then you don't need to keep telling people around because they are not able to help. So what do? Keep declaring what the word says. Because that is what you don't have. Use your word to create your world. Because God used his word to create his own world. And we are living in his world right now. And he put us in the same class with him. I said, now come and make things happen by your word. But you know, that's the reason why human beings are the only creatures here that talk. Do you notice that animals can't talk? They can communicate, but they cannot talk. Because they are not permitted to create anything here. We are the only ones permitted to create things here. And that is the reason why we are given the ability to talk, so that we can use our words to create things. But unfortunately, many believers have used their words to create nightmares for themselves. Amen. Why did they die in the wilderness? When they came back, they said, God, we're not going on here. We are going back to Egypt. We will choose a captain that will take us to Egypt. Moses, you brought us here so that we would die. I said, hey, you came here to die? No problem. I will supervise your death. 40 years, God supervised them and made sure that the word they said came to pass. God said to them, as you have spoken in my ears, that is what I will do. You said you have come here to die. I will make sure you die. Well, you know, the Australians are very funny. When they want to say today, they say to die. So if you see an Australian and you are in the hospital, the Australian listen and say, oh, have you come here to die? Amen. So number one, you need to hear the preacher. Number two, you have to preach to yourself. That is how your profiting comes. You want to profit in your finances, hear preachers on finance, and then keep preaching into yourself. You want to profit in your health, hear preachers on healing, and then preach it to yourself. I used to be very sickly in my school days. Now, you didn't know then. I used to be very, very sickly. But when I would be delivered from it, all I did, I got books on healing. I read so many books, and then I got tapes. Until one day, I was listening to Kenneth Copeland, and he was talking on healing. That day, faith came to me. And a sickness that I've had for all my childhood years, in 1994, that was the day I became free. And I shouted in my room, I can never be sick again. Until today, I have the strongest body on earth. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Whatever you would do for God, do it in faith. Do it in faith. Say with me, say, from tonight, I will hear preaching. And I will preach to myself. Say it again, I will hear preaching. And I will preach to myself. In the name of Jesus, I declare over my life, it is well with me. It is well with my household. According to the word of the Lord, I will walk by faith. I will live my life by faith. I will keep hearing the word. And I will keep preaching the word to myself. And preach the word to my circumstances. And tonight, as a preacher, I declare, no sickness will live in my body. No sickness will drain my money. In the name of Jesus, I declare abundance. I declare favor everywhere I go. On the left, on the right, I shall be highly favored. In the name of Jesus, every door that I have knocked, that I have not opened, today I declare, lift up your heads, all ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. I declare, I am blessed. Doors are open to me. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Lord, I pray and I lift up your people before you tonight. And I ask, oh God, that grace will be abundant for your people. In the name of Jesus. I declare, oh God, grace will be abundance for your people. In the name of Jesus. I declare, oh God, that your blessing will be abundant for your people. In the name of Jesus. From today, Lord, let the hunger for your word, the hunger to hear preaching, let it be abundant in their hearts. Lord, create a passion for your word in the heart of your people. Blessed be your name, Father. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray anyone that is sick here tonight, I come against the power of sickness and infirmity, and I command it to go to leave them right now in the name of Jesus. Right now, I declare sickness go. Everyone that is in any difficulty, by the anointing of God upon my life tonight, I declare, let there be an intervention for them. Father, intervene for them. Tonight, Lord, I pray, let there be intervention. I'm hearing in my spirit there is someone here, you've experienced a setback in your life. Since you've been in this nation, there's something that's happened, I don't know what it is, that has created a setback for you. I hear the Lord saying to me that an anointing is coming on you for speed tonight. You will overtake. Oh my God, everything you've lost in the days of your setback, God is restoring, because you will catch up. And you will overtake. So shall it be in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that the doors of favor will be open to your children this week. I bless you with the blessing of the Lord. Be blessed, be favored in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Let's put our hands together for the Lord.
Hallelujah.